If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 1. Go ahead and get there. We continue our series on one-of-a-kind Christmas, and this morning's service is going to be just a little different than our normal Sunday services. I knew we had him coming this morning. You say, well, you know, it's not normal to have a missionary introduce him in December. No, but he's moving in 20 days, and I wanted him to come see us before he moved to Wyoming, so I'm glad he could be here this morning. But we continue our series, One-of-a-Kind Christmas, and we've talked about the one-of-a-kind birth announcement. We talked about the one-of-a-kind baby reveal last week, and this week we talk about just what a one-of-a-kind baby, this God child, this Emmanuel, God is with us. If you're ever around a young lady, a mother, who loves to talk about her kids, you would say, do you have any children? And the mom will say something like this, oh, do I have kids? You ought to see my little baby girl or my little baby boy. He is the most beautiful baby you've ever seen. Have you ever been in that conversation and then you saw the picture and you went, oh, my word, that's just not what I picture. Can you relate? Oh, yeah. So I want to share a video with you that I just kind of thought was appropriate, because anytime you talk to somebody over the anticipation of their baby, when their baby comes, you're so elated. There is he's a wise world philosopher. His name's Jerry Seinfeld. I want you to see this clip, if you will, please, just for a second. Now, unfortunately, I have been victim of that exact same thing. But for the most part, there is nothing that's more beautiful than a new baby. Precious. Innocent, glowing face. It's incredible. And when you talk to a mom, moms just have a way of just bragging on their kids. Oh, isn't he the most beautiful thing you've seen? Oh, he's so smart. He's like a child prodigy. He's 3 months old. How in the world is he a child prodigy? But there is just this something about the pride that a mother has for this baby, this little boy, this little girl. But if every mom in the world thinks that their baby is the prettiest, is the most attractive, there are some mothers that are mistaken, because everybody can't be the most beautiful baby child. As I was thinking about that this past week, I was thinking about the way that we view a Christmas and the way that we view this baby that was being prophesied. He was revealed. He was announced. And then I came across this verse in Jeremiah 10:6. It says this, no one is like you, Lord. You are great. Your name is mighty in power. You see, there's going to be this elevation for the very first time in history that we have all of these natural births, which we read last week in Matthew 1. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and there's a baby, and a generation, a baby. But now there is something new coming to earth. We sang about it this morning, Emmanuel, God is going to be with us. God is coming to this earth. We talked the first week about the announcement of the baby, Zacharias and Elizabeth and their son, who would later be John the Baptist, who would begin to foretell the coming of the Messiah. Last week we talked about the reveal of the baby and how when the angel appeared to Joseph and said, this is what's going to happen, you're going to call his name Jesus. It was an incredible reveal. This week we're going to talk about the uniqueness of this baby as we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter number 1, what I want to do, I want to read this portion of scripture to you, and then I want to come back and I want to highlight some of the verses this morning. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26, we're going to begin reading. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. If you want a good reading, after this angel Gabriel appears to Mary and begins to basically pronounce what this child is going to be, who this child will be, if you continue reading in the book of Luke, maybe today get a chance, you're going to find Mary's prayer, her song of prayer, as she begins to sing and worship God for what he's going to do through her. But what I wanted to do this morning, I wanted to take those few verses because in this message, in the message from Gabriel, Gabriel's conversation with Mary, there is an announcement and words and verbiage that he uses that describes that this child is not going to be just like any other child. This child is, there's going to be some incredible differences between this child and every other child born. Look, if you will, in verse number 35, it says, and the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. The first phrase that God uses is the Son of God. There is none more divine. None more divine. Kyle, do you have the scripture where I begin to... Perfect. None more divine. As we're going to read through this portion from verse 31 to 35, we're going to be highlighting words that Gabriel used that shows a distinction that this child will be like nothing else. This will be the Son of God. This will be God come to earth. Secondly, look at the phrase in number 32. It says, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants. Secondly, he was the Son of God, no more divine. Secondly, he will be a king. There will be none stronger than this king. He focuses on the strength and might that was known from a ruler that would rule his people. In verse 33, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. He is forever. There will be none longer. None longer. Verse 35, and the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And that word holy, holy, which means none more pure, set apart. Verse 31, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. And that name Jesus means Yeshua, Joshua, or it means Yahweh saves. And we need a Savior. Verse 32, and he will be great. And will be called the Son of the Most High. That word great, none more worthy of admiration because God is at work. So when you take all of those attributes on one list and you begin to look, that he's the Son of God, none more divine, separates him from all other children. He's a king. There's none stronger than this king. He will reign forever. There will be none that lasts longer. Holy, none more pure. Jesus, none more needed. Great, none more worthy because there is no one higher. No one higher. Now, the reason I want to bring this to your attention, these were notes that I wrote down almost 2 years ago. I was listening to watching a video blog of a pastor, and it just began to ring because as I began to write them down, I want us to understand what this word worship means, adoration, your response to a figure in authority being God. This question I have is simply this, if there truly is no one like our God, and no one is greater than this baby, the question I have you this morning is, have you exalted anybody, anyone, anything above where God should be? See, when you look back in Exodus chapter number 20, the first few verses, God puts it very clear in his commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no other graven images. Why? Because I'm a jealous God, a God that desires all of our worship. There's a phrase that I've heard in Christianity, maybe you've heard this. It simply says this, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Lord of your life. Now that word Lord means simply one having power and authority over others. one having power and authority over others. That's what that word Lord means. Now, we don't really use that term like they used at one time in the early 1900s. How many here, I am guilty of watching a Netflix series with my wife that she got me started, and I kicked and screamed until I got into about episode 3 or 4, and now I watch it, and we're almost done. How many have seen Downton Abbey? You've seen the Netflix series, okay? Don't judge me, okay? Don't judge me on that, because I also watched Longmire. There we go. Are we good there, Jay? Okay. But this setting is back in the early 1900s. It's a story about an aristocratic family, and in their British social hierarchy, they are known for this royalty and majestic. The main characters are Lady Grantham and Lord Grantham. And every servant that lives in that household, when they address Lord Grantham, they say, "Yes, my lord. Yes, my lord." And all they're doing is denoting a position of power, a position of authority within that household. And I started thinking about this understanding of Lord. Now, you're going to find the word Lord and Savior. Maybe you've heard that. But you're going to find a prediction, especially in the book of Revelation. It's a title that's given to this child, baby child, which refers to who God is. In Revelation 19:16, it says simply this: on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 17:14 says, and they will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. You see, when Jesus is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it means that in the end, all other rulers will be conquered or abolished. He alone will reign supreme as King. He will be Lord over all the earth. There is no power. There is no king. There is no Lord who can oppose him and win. There is no one greater. None greater. There was a phrase that was used when I grew up in church, and people would say, "Have you made Jesus Christ? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?" Well, let me explain something. It is a personal decision for you to accept the sacrifice of what Christ did on the cross. But Jesus is Lord. That's not really up to you. Nothing changes. Jesus is Lord. Whether you submit to his lordship or not, it doesn't make a difference. One day, every head will bow. Every eye will close. You will understand at that point when you bow down, he's Lord. It won't be, "Well, what do you think? You think we should?" No, we will submit to him. So what I want to do this morning for the rest of our time, just a few minutes, I want to do something that probably the church has gotten away from. In the early 2nd, 3rd, 4th centuries, when people would gather together in a church service, not everybody had a copy of the Bible. So the pastor would not say, or the leader or the elder would not say, "Turn in your Bibles to such and such and join with me." It was not that way. So what the orator, what the spiritual leader, the pastor, whoever it would be, would read scripture. And it wouldn't be just like, "Jesus wept. Thank you. Please be seated." He would ask the congregation to rise, and then he would begin to read the Holy Scriptures. You see, I think it's important that as a pastor, I speak and I give you the Scriptures, and I want you to take my word for it that what I'm preaching is truth. But when it comes to us opening the Scriptures and seeing what Scripture has to say about God, that is irrefutable. This is what God, as he spoke through men, is saying about God. So here's how we're going to end the service today. Will you stand with me this morning? If you're able to stand, I hope that you will. Psalms 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord, and he is most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." So what I want to do this morning, I want to read a portion of scripture from Ephesians. I want to read a Psalms this morning. And then I want us to, together, I have a video of a song by Lincoln Brewster that says that there is no one like our God. And I want you just for a moment to to basically block out where you're going for lunch. I want you to block out the pressures in your life right now, the worries. Maybe you have a relationship that's just on unstable ground. Maybe you don't know about your job security. Maybe you don't know what your kids are doing. Regardless, I want you just to kind of push that away, because for just a few moments, I want us to reflect on what the scripture has to say about God. Because it's simple. There is no one higher. There is no one greater. There is no one more divine. There is no one more needed. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 17 says this: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance to his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now what I want to do is I want to read Psalms 1 and 45. Psalms 1 and 45. Do you have that, Kyle? Because I want our congregation to read this together. Psalms 1 and 45. I have a feeling the computer just crashed. What I would like for us to do is I would like for you to read the words together. And I would like for you just to focus on the words. Can you do that for me this morning? You know what? Do I need to read it? Is it up? Psalms 145. I want you to participate here. You say, I don't like to read out loud. What we're going to do right now is we're going to read the Psalm of David as David began to lift up this psalm to who God was in singing about his praises and in speaking of his praises. So I want in one unified verse this morning, you don't have to talk loud. If there's big words, you can kind of skip over them if you need to. But I want us as a congregation this morning to worship our God by reading his word. Read with me this morning. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all the people may know of your mighty acts and of the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever, ever. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen.